It's a revolution. You can tell because we're dancing.
By Rena Jenkins and read by Lattice Frames. So, are there any Fallout Boy owns a music boutique and then there are Mary Shenanigans teaching Baby Panic how to play instruments fit? And maybe Brendan and Ryan have lessons one right after the other, so they only ever see each other in passing. But there are many longing glances and speaking looks between the two of them. And Pete and Patrick look on with paternal pride as their protégés learn skills. But meanwhile, Spencer is laughing at Ryro's pain. And also, William Gabe. Gabe is his teacher and William is taking voice lessons and their love is verboten because Gabe doesn't feel right molesting this gorgeous young bit of jailbait with gorgeous pipes and gorgeous stems when he's getting paid for it. So there's much angsting on that end, because Gabe knows he's pretty much a creeper. But William's voice and William's adoration makes him want to be worthy. So nothing happens but USD and lots of choice musical arrangements. Meanwhile, Ryro and Beaton still haven't had a chance to talk to each other, but Ryan has been captivated by, like, Brendan's eyebrows or his wrists or something. And he's been furiously songwriting all about it. Lots of metaphors about fleeting beauty and unnamed knowledge and birds in flight. And Patrick gets to hear them all at guitar lessons. Because they've gotten past the basics and are moving into composing, and Ryan needs a professional ear for this, okay? And, like, Brendan's taking the lesson immediately after Ryan's, right? So he always goes in with a grin on his face because he loves guitar, obviously.
But also, like, yearning looks out into the lobby for a few minutes while he tunes.
And Pete's out front manning the cash register and selling how-to manuals and hanging Battle of the Bands flyers for the local high school, right? So he totally sees all this going on from an outsider's perspective. And also Spencer's eye-rolling as he picks Ryan up from lessons in Mrs. Smith's wood-paneling sedan. It's so 1970s, it's ridiculous. And maybe while he's waiting for Ryan to finish up, Spencer commiserates with Pete over the sheer level of ridiculous pining that is going on over there. Let us not forget about lecherous Gabe and bendy young William after all. So, to begin the commiseration, Spencer and Pete begin conspiring. They make plans. There's scheming and devilment afoot. What the plans boil down to is basically this. A series of reminders and confusion. Step 1. Remind Gabe that prison sucks, and that William's birthday is in 3 months. If that doesn't work, remind Gabe that he'd never forgive himself if he stifled William's creative spirit. Step 1A is to get William into the high school's honor choir, so he gets voice lessons for free during school hours, so that Gabe won't feel like he's prostituting himself on the altar of William's love, according to Pete. Spencer just rolls his eyes some more. Step 2 of the master plan. Pete wanted to call it Plan Writing Sins, Not Tragedies. Spencer wanted to call Pete melodramatic, but he was worried it might cost him as a co-conspirator. It was as follows. Arrange a convenient scheduling mix-up for Ryan and Brendan's lessons. Lock Ryan and Brendan in the practice space at the back of the shop. Wait for Ryan and Brendan to get over themselves and either make music together or make out with each other. They make music together, all right. Pete might have leered at Spencer over the countertop. You're really a nosy douche. Spencer might have replied in turn. And finally, lock Patrick in the supply closet with all the spare rosins and picks and Pete's so that he didn't interfere with Ryan and Brendan. And then stuff happens because when does the plan ever go according to plan but there are happy endings for everyone, the end? Yes. Okay, that was it. Thanks for listening.